This is the Ethanol Report for Independence Day week, with a look at just how the Renewable Fuel Standard is helping to increase our energy independence. I spoke with Jeff Cooper, Vice President of Research and Analysis for the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, as we celebrate our nation's independence this week, we're coming up on about 5 years now since the RFS was strengthened in the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007. So it's a good time now to look back and see just what that policy has done to help with that goal, which really has been at the root of the development of the ethanol industry over the years, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and you're right, Cindy. The energy independence, or the ability to decrease reliance on foreign oil, that really was one of the founding principles of the ethanol industry dating back to the late 1970s and early 80s. And I think what you see when you look at the numbers is we are having a very real impact on oil imports. There's been a lot of news lately about the fact that the U.S. has become much less dependent on foreign sources of petroleum. And today, the amount of our consumption that is represented by imports is about 40%, and that's down significantly from about 60% in 2005.
Well, the Renewable Fuel Standard has had a lot to do with that, and again, as part of the overall Energy Act, that was again part of the purpose here is energy security in the United States. But the RFS has been under attack, and yet we're constantly trying to prove how it is working and how it is helping that. And I know that we just recently had more information about that we're providing to Congress as they continue to get challenged over the RFS.
Well, that's right. And again, we've seen this significant decrease in our dependence on foreign oil in percentage terms. And we're hearing the American Petroleum Institute and others in the oil industry claim responsibility for that, and they're saying, "Gosh, we're producing more oil in North Dakota and in Texas, and that's the reason we're less dependent on imports today." And when you peel back the onion, you see that there's a lot of hyperbole and exaggeration in some of the claims they're making, and that when you really sit down and analyze the reasons for our lower rate of imports, the RFS is really a major factor. Certainly increased oil production from fracking has been a factor, but that's really a fairly recent phenomenon. U.S. oil production was actually declining steadily until 2009, but because of ethanol and because of the RFS, we've seen a decrease in our petroleum imports that began in 2005 and has sustained itself through today. So, we've attempted to, in our communications with Congress and the House Energy Committee in particular, kind of put in context some of the things that have been happening over the last 7 or 8 years in terms of the volume of renewable fuels that has been added to the U.S. supply as a result of the RFS and what that's meant for imports.
A lot of the arguments against the RFS is the fact that we're up against the blend wall, the slow adoption of higher blends of ethanol, and also the fact that we've been slow to get advanced biofuels in. What are some of the things that you have to say about that regarding the RFS?
Well, I think those are the reasons why the RFS remains critically important, because left to their own devices, the oil companies will stop blending increasing volumes of renewable fuels. They've been fairly comfortable with ethanol blends at the 10% level, but in their mind, E15 is a bridge too far, and that's why they are have drawn a line in the sand and have taken EPA to court, and they've invested millions of dollars into a PR and political campaign to undermine RFS and ethanol. We think that's evidence of exactly why the RFS must remain intact. If we are to continue this transition to more renewable and more sustainable sources of fuel, the RFS is going to continue to be a major part of that, and it's going to continue to drive the behavior in the oil industry that we're going to need to see to get to these larger volumes of ethanol. You know, if they don't like E15, they could do E85. And we're starting to see a real surge in interest and demand for E85. Again, you know, we're hearing more interest in E85 than we've heard in the last several years, and much of that is being enabled by the RFS and the RIN prices that we're seeing and just kind of the dynamics in the marketplace. So there are options to get around this blend wall, and it's nonsense for the oil industry to say otherwise.
In addition to helping to increase America's energy independence, where the RFS and increased production of biofuels in the United States are also having other impacts, like strengthening our economy with job creations and as well as improving the environment. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we analyze the industry's economic impacts on a yearly basis. And the last couple of years, the ethanol industry has been responsible for some 400,000 jobs and about $40 billion in gross domestic product. So we have had a substantial impact on the economy. And again, you know, we hear the oil industry talk about fracking and the jobs that that's created. But, you know, when you look at the environmental impacts of the fuels that they're producing versus the fuels that we're producing, we think we really shine. Ethanol really shines in terms of its environmental record and impacts on the environment. So these truly are green jobs that the industry has created. And I think those are the types of jobs that our economy needs and what American consumers want to see.
That's all the questions I have, Jeff. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I was just going to add one more point on, you know, this notion that, well, because we've increased our domestic oil production, we just don't need the RFS anymore. That's really kind of the popular mantra that's being used by the oil industry today in Washington, D.C. And it just doesn't hold water when you really look at the fact that, yes, we're producing a little more oil here domestically, but the U.S. still only accounts for less than 9% of global crude oil production, even with this new production from fracking. And because of that, you know, we're not seeing any change to world oil prices resulting from what's happening here in the U.S. You know, oil prices have doubled since January of 2009, despite the fact that we've seen oil production here in the U.S. increase, you know, quite significantly. So I think all of that underscores the continued need to promote the RFS and continue to implement the program.
And it goes right into the all of the above strategy for energy in the United States. And really, that's what our country was founded on, diversity and choice, I'd say.
Absolutely. I mean, we have nothing against any domestic energy sources. You know, in fact, you know, more domestic oil production is in many ways good for the U.S. economy and consumer. But the fact is we still import a substantial amount of our petroleum, and we're importing a lot less refined products, but we're still importing a lot of crude oil. You know, when you look at the fact that our crude oil imports from the Persian Gulf were actually at a four-year high in 2012. So we're still bringing a lot of crude oil into this country, and we have a long way to go from here in terms of enhancing energy security and independence. And that's why the RFS is going to continue to be a major and important piece of our energy policy going forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.